He is our priest. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible episode number 270. This is the daily podcast where we're reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. I hope you're having a great day. Our reading today is Hebrews 5 through 7. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you teach us today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads us. Help us to be sensitive to that leading. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin. Hebrews chapter 5. For every high priest is taken from among the people and appointed to represent them before God, to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal compassionately with those who are ignorant and erring, since he also is subject to weakness, and for this reason he is obligated to make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. And no one assumes this honor on his own initiative, but only when called to it by God, as in fact Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming high priest, but the one who glorified him was God, who said to him, "You are my son, today I have fathered you." And also in another place God says, "You are a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During his earthly life, Christ offered both requests and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his devotion. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And by being perfected in this way, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And he was designated by God as high priest in the order of Melchizedek. On this topic, we have much to say, and it is difficult to explain since you have become sluggish in learning. For though you should, in fact, be teachers by this time, you need someone to teach you the beginning elements of God's utterances. You have gone back to needing milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced in the message of righteousness, because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, whose perceptions are trained by practice to discern both good and evil. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, we must progress beyond the elementary instructions about Christ and move on to maturity, not laying this foundation again, repentance from dead works and faith in God, teaching about baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this is what we intend to do, if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, become partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasted the good word of God and the miracles of the coming age, and then have committed apostasy, to renew them again to repentance, since they are crucifying the Son of God for themselves all over again and holding him up to contempt. For the ground that has soaked up the rain that frequently falls on it and yields useful vegetation for those who tend it receives a blessing from God. But if it produces thorns and thistles, it is useless and about to be cursed. Its fate is to be burned. But in your case, dear friends, even though we speak like this, we are convinced of better things relating to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name, in having served and continuing to serve the saints. But we passionately want each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of your hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and perseverance, inherit the promises. Now, when God made his promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore to himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you greatly and multiply your descendants abundantly." And so, by persevering, Abraham inherited the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and the oath serves as a confirmation to end all dispute. In the same way, God wanted to demonstrate more clearly to the heirs of the promise that his purpose was unchangeable, and so he intervened with an oath, so that we who have found refuge in him may find strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope that is set before us through two unchangeable things, since it is impossible for God to lie. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and steadfast, which reaches inside behind the curtain, where Jesus our forerunner entered on our behalf, since he became a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem, and also a priest of God Most High. When Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle against the kings, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means King of Justice, and King of Salem means King of Peace. There is no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God. Consider then how great this Melchizedek was. Even Abraham, the great patriarch of Israel, recognized this by giving him a tenth of what he had taken in battle. Now the law of Moses required that the priests, who are descendants of Levi, must collect a tenth from the rest of the people of Israel, who are also descendants of Abraham. But Melchizedek, who was not a descendant of Levi, collected a tenth from Abraham. And Melchizedek placed a blessing upon Abraham, the one who had already received the promises of God. And without a question, the person who has the power to give a blessing is greater than the one who was blessed. The priests who collect tithes are men who die, so Melchizedek is greater than they are, because we are told that he lives on. In addition, we might even say that these Levites, the ones who collect the tithe, paid a tithe to Melchizedek when their ancestor Abraham paid a tithe to him. For although Levi wasn't born yet, the seed from which he came was in Abraham's body when Melchizedek collected the tithe from him. So if the priesthood of Levi, on which the law was based, could have achieved the perfection God intended, why did God need to establish a different priesthood, with a priest in the order of Melchizedek instead of the order of Levi and Aaron? And if the priesthood is changed, the law must also be changed to permit it, for the priest we are talking about belongs to a different tribe, whose members have never served at the altar as priests. What I mean is, our Lord came from the tribe of Judah, and Moses never mentioned priests coming from that tribe. This change has been made very clear, since a different priest, who is like Melchizedek, has appeared. Jesus became a priest, not by meeting the physical requirement of belonging to the tribe of Levi, but by the power of a life that cannot be destroyed. And the psalmist pointed this out when he prophesied, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Yes, the old requirement about the priesthood was set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law never made anything perfect. But now we have confidence in a better hope, through which we draw nearer to God. This new system was established with a solemn oath. Aaron's descendants became priests without such an oath, but there was an oath regarding Jesus. For God said to him, "The Lord has taken an oath and will not break his vow. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. He is the kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices every day. They did this for their own sins first, and then for the sins of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as the sacrifice for the people's sins. The law appointed high priests who were limited by human weakness. But after the law was given, God appointed his Son with an oath, and his Son has been made the perfect high priest forever. Melchizedek is a bit of a mystery man, isn't he, beloved? As it said in chapter 7, we don't know anything about his genealogy. Verse 3 tells us, "There's no record of his father or mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life." Well, that's kind of strange, especially for those times when genealogies were kept in great detail because it was important to know what tribe of Israel a person was from. We're told that his name means King of Righteousness and King of Peace. Now we're beginning to see that Melchizedek prefigured or foreshadowed Jesus because these are titles that he holds. We're told that the priesthood of Melchizedek was perpetual. It never ended. Also, the author goes into great detail as to why he, Melchizedek, was greater than Abraham, and therefore greater than Levi. This is important when we remember who the primary audience of this book is, the Hebrew people, or Jews. To them, the law was paramount. Establishing that the priesthood of Melchizedek was superior to the Levitical priesthood was key, since the object of this book is to help the Jews to understand that the priesthood of Jesus supersedes the Old Law, or Old Covenant. Why is this important? Well, because the Old Law was not able to bring man into perfection or righteousness before God. The Old Law could only put a Band-Aid on the wounds caused by sin. Only the New Covenant, with Jesus as our great High Priest, can do that. And by the way, it might be helpful to give a brief definition of the word priest. A priest is a person who intercedes for man to God. Being sinful, we're unable to approach a perfect and holy God. We must have, as it were, a representative who takes our case to God. Jesus, having been a man and having lived a sinless life, is qualified to do just that. And if we're His, when we are in relationship with Him, we approach God the Father through Jesus. He is our mediator. He is our representative. He is our priest. Without Him, we have no standing before God. I'm so thankful that Jesus is our mediator. If you think you can't come to God because you're not good enough, you're right. But you can come to God through Jesus. And when you do that, God sees you as perfect and righteous and holy. You can come to God just as you are, and He will make you a new person, a bit of a time, in His time. What are your thoughts? Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Tomorrow, our reading will be Numbers chapters 29 through 32. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.